We're talking today with Dr. Patrick Webb from the National Pork Board. And Patrick, you're here in Oklahoma. You're talking with producers and others in the livestock industry about foreign animal diseases and what would happen to our livestock industry if we got one of these anywhere in the country, but most certainly here in Oklahoma. Why is this such an important topic that we need to stay ahead of?
So the diseases that we're talking about are diseases that we don't have in the United States, but have international and domestic repercussions if you get them. And so foot and mouth disease, classical swine fever, African swine fever, if we were to get those in the U.S. swine herd, we would lose our ability to export pork and pork products. And there would also be very severe disease control measures put in place where the disease is that would disrupt the flow of pork and pork production. And so we need to plan ahead. We need to make sure that we have the resources and the infrastructure in place to help mitigate those diseases, even though we don't have them, because there would be such dire economic and production impacts to the industry that's important to be prepared now.
We're talking billions of dollars.
Yeah, we worked with Dr. Dermot Hayes on a study a few years ago, an economic study that showed that basically across commodity losses from a case of foot and mouth disease in the United States would easily be $20 billion a year, and we estimate that we'd be out of our international markets for at least 10 years. And so when you look at severe economic damage to the pork industry, beef industry, and of course corn and soybeans, they feed us, and they would feel the repercussions of that as well. And so when these diseases strike, we're all kind of in the same boat, because the impacts on trade and production and the disease control measures would all reduce our ability to be profitable as an industry.
So as we try to, you know, most certainly do everything we can to keep these diseases out, what happens if we do, you know, actually detect one of these diseases? In this case, we're actually talking about foot and mouth disease today.
Yeah, today, you know, we're lucky in that there is a federal plan for foot and mouth disease, and the state has a plan for foot and mouth disease, and the industry has strategies to help help in the response if we have an outbreak. And so those are important things that we need to have in place that we do. But, you know, when you have a situation like foot and mouth show up in the United States, it's going to be very stressful. There's going to be a lot of moving parts to it. And so today we're spending a lot of time to try to exercise what we would do so people kind of know the roles, responsibilities. It's always better to prepare prior than try to do something after.
Now, this isn't just a cattle producer or a pork producer gets impacted or actually gets involved.
Yeah, it's your whole agricultural community. If we had foot and mouth disease here in Oklahoma, not only would your cattle and your pork producers be affected, your feed yards, your buying stations, your packing plants, your feed mills. Yep, your feed mills. I mean, it impacts the entire community. And when you've got your community's lifeblood that supports these small communities affected, and that's affecting the economics of the area, you start seeing that it starts to be a local event. It starts moving out and affecting a lot more people than just agriculture.
And then you've got a lot of times when you do these type of exercises, you involve emergency management personnel, government officials. I mean, there's a whole you know, bunch of people.
Yeah, you know, when we do these exercises, we like to see the firemen here, and we like to see the law enforcement and county emergency managers. We like to see the public health folks. We like to see anybody that would be affected, because they all play a role, but some of them don't know. If we have to have some type of a stop movement because of a disease outbreak, you know, who's best to do that? Law enforcement can help with that. So when we get those folks here and we train them, you know, a lot of times they walk out of here going, hey, you know what, I didn't even know I was going to be involved in this. And so, again, it becomes that local response that's imperative to have. And a lot of people at the local level that are outside of agriculture don't even know they're going to be playing until they come to a training like this.
Folks in agriculture have been around for a little while. They remember the images, the pictures from Great Britain from around, 2000 or thereabouts, when they had, you know, thousands of animals that were being killed by being basically put down, being incinerated, the fires. Would that happen in this day and age in the U.S.?
You know, we're starting to see an evolution to what type of strategies you can use to mitigate, you know, these outbreaks. Historically, it has been euthanasia and disposal. But, you know, we're in a unique situation here in the United States with the size of our industries and the amount of animals that are moving. Other strategies have to be considered. You know, can we vaccinate for this disease? Can we do some type of managed movement for this disease? You need to have all the tools in your toolbox and use the right tool for the situation. But, you know, me personally, I would like to try to reduce the amount of euthanasia and disposal that would have to be done, because when we talk about foot and mouth disease, it's not a public health threat. And so we need to, you know, make sure that we're trying to facilitate continuity of operations while trying to make sure that we get these diseases contained. And that takes multiple strategies. And I think, you know, for us as an industry, having tools like vaccination, having tools like secure pork supply are all vitally important, so we have other options than using euthanasia and disposal.
I know both the pork industry and beef industry have really been preaching and wanting to see included in this next farm bill monies for a vaccine bank. Is that something feasible?
You know, we have a vaccine bank here in the United States, and we share it with Mexico and Canada, and it's been up and running for a long, long time. But since we're going, USDA has told industry, you know, vaccine is going to be used earlier. The opportunities there are greater that we are going to use it. Then you need to have the ability to provide an adequate amount of vaccine in a short period of time. And so what the national level, National Pork Producers Council, National Beef Cattlemen's Association, National Milk Producers Federation, what they're doing is vital work in order to make people aware that we have to change our vaccine bank structure to make sure that we have short, medium, and long-term vaccine to use in an outbreak, so we can use other things to try to control it, contain it, and get rid of it.
I know that, you know, it's been said that, for example, we've got one county in Oklahoma, Texas County, where we've got a lot of cattle, we've got a lot of hogs, some dairy. There are probably not enough vaccine in this country to even handle just Texas County.
Well, that's what we're trying to change, in that right now the vaccine supplies that would be available in an outbreak, once you had typed the disease and figured out what you had and got the vaccine produced, would be very small compared to probably what the need would be. And so, again, this vaccine bank that's being National Pork Producers Council has been involved in trying to get awareness for and get dollars for is vital, because that would actually change the amount of vaccine that would be available to more meaningful amounts early and mid and long stage.
The inadvertent introduction of foot and mouth disease through whatever way that might happen, coming in inadvertently from other countries, from a Brazil or other countries that have actively have it. That's one thing. But you also alluded to the fact that, you know, out there might be some agro-terrorism that could be a possibility as well.
Well, you know, that's the challenge with these diseases, is that especially foot and mouth disease could be potentially used as an agro-terrorist type disease. And so it boils down to, you know, making sure that we have an infrastructure here that, if it was brought in that way, would allow for early detection, because early detection really means the most to us if we have a disease outbreak like that. If the disease gets here and it sits around for a couple weeks before it's detected, then we run into some real challenges. But, you know, a lot of the people that potentially may not like us internationally and domestically could potentially exploit those diseases for agroterrorism purposes. And so it's always a concern, and I know it's a concern of USDA, and I know it's a concern of the Department of Homeland Security, and they do have mitigations in place to try to make sure that, you know, we stop those type of events from occurring. But as you also mentioned, we got a lot of travelers out there traveling to countries, maybe doing some agro-tourism, and they play a vital role in just making sure that when they come back into the country, you know, follow all the rules, you know, declare the things that you purchased, make sure you let them know at Customs and Border Protection that if you've been on a farm, you've been on a farm. I mean, it's all about their awareness, too. We're all in this together. It's our food supply we're talking about, so, you know, everybody plays a role.